Well, again, thank you for being here. And I struggled for a long time about what to preach this morning, and I've got another message in my Bible here. If you want to stay afterwards, I'll preach it to you. But I'll probably just most of you just want to get the first one. But it's not a missions message, I was afraid. Brother Schneider was here, Kyle's dad. He's also president of BIMI. I want him to think good of me. I want him to think I'm a great missions pastor, but I'm not going to preach on that. And then Amy came afterwards. I wasn't in the Sunday school class. She said, man, did he do a good job. I said, yeah, he makes the rest of us hacks look bad, us preachers that don't do such a good job. I said, he's smooth, and he's a great presenter. I've seen him online many different times. But here I go, and you get what you got. You know, what'd you tell your kids when he was little? You get what you get, you don't fuss a bit, right? You know, it's just the way it goes. He's leaving, so too bad. He'll preach tonight for us, and so why don't you come back here, Brother Schneider, and he'll be here preaching this evening. And so I'm so looking forward to that, and I'm thankful for his friendship, and I'm thankful for his family, of course, and now our church family is getting to benefit from he and his wife, because they gave encouraged, and now their son is here with us, and so we're thankful. And I want you to get to meet them before they leave, either today or tonight, and we'll certainly thank them for that. Well, turn your Bibles to Ruth, if you will, and I'll preach what I believe the Lord has for us. And it's 11:33. I won't preach long this morning. My wife's in the nursery, so she said, "Hurry up," because she didn't want to watch your babies that long. So. I got one preacher that the members of the church start calling Pharaoh. I said, "Why do you call him that?" Their pastor started calling him Pharaoh. I said, "Well, Pharaoh's this and Pharaoh's that." And so finally some new visitor asked him, "Why do you call the pastor Pharaoh?" He said, "Well, he has preached so long, he never lets God's people go." So I won't be that way today. I heard, you know, this one kid was sitting over by this fella, and this fellow fell asleep. The pastor was preaching. He was preaching long, and I would have fallen asleep too, and probably you would have. But he said, held that kid. He said, hey, wake him up. I said, wake him up. And he wasn't going to do it. He just shook his head. No, he said, I said, wake him up. And finally he said, you put him to sleep, you wake him up. So I will try not to put you to sleep this morning. And I about like the other fellow, I heard that he was in there, and service was going long, 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 and finally this guy had enough, and he got up, he's in the middle of the pew, and he says, excuse me, you know how you do, walking across. And the pastor said, hey, where are you going? He said, I'm going to get a haircut. He said, why didn't you get a haircut before you came to service? He said, I didn't need one before I came. So, I won't keep you long. We'll be out a good time. I want to preach about this message, Full in the Famine. I trust it'll be a blessing. I've wrestled with it. Look at Ruth 1:1, chapter 1, verse 1, right at the beginning. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah. Pause right there. The word Bethlehem, Judah, that phrase, it depicts where it was, Bethlehem, Judah. But it also, the meaning of that is the land of bread and praise. Quite literally, the land of bread and praise, that's what it means. So they were in that land. They went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. The name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. She was left and her two sons. And she took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, which we know so well, Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, and that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. I'll stop there, and we'll begin our message this morning. And I want to preach just for a little while about this being full in the famine. Father, bless us now is our prayer. We do want, I trust that this thought, this message is what you need for us today. Lord, I believe there's a lot of people that are getting weary in the load that they're having to carry. Lord, I believe there's many that are looking around saying, Lord, I've got to get out of here, got to go do something. Lord, I believe there's many that are in their marriage and they're thinking that perhaps it's never going to get any better. I think there's some that are having difficulty with their children, and they're thinking that, I don't know if I can hold on. I think there's some that are so frustrated with their financial situation that they're about ready to jump ship and go do something else. But Lord, something else, unless you're leading, is not going to warrant them any protection and safety and security either. Please bless this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've got a place here where Naomi is leaving Bethlehem, Judah, the place, the land of bread and praise, going to Moab. Now, regardless of whether she should have went, shouldn't have went, I want to preach this morning some things just that will be some observations from this passage, and I trust it'll be a blessing to you. I want to give you about three thoughts, and then we'll be done for the day. I'm thinking about this. There's a lot of people who are complaining about America because it's got so many problems, and it certainly does. But you understand that this is the, I believe, still the greatest place that we are able to proclaim boldly the message. We have our sign out here that says it's a Baptist church. We could have any other sign out there as well if we wanted to. And so it's free to do all those things. It's free to gather. And we didn't do this under the fear of somebody coming in and preventing us from happening. And many people believe that about America. But not only that, I mentioned in the prayer, there are some people I believe that in their family, in their marriage, their just barely holding on, and their thoughts are going through their mind, put there by the wicked one, that it'd be better if they just exit this engagement, exit this endeavor that they're in, exit this marriage that they're in, because surely it's better over there. There's other folks that think that the family problems that they're having with their children, and it just seems like they're so struggling, so much struggle, and they're so difficult right now, that it'd be better if they just call it quits and leave and run off. And I'm afraid there's many of us, we get so consumed in the problem that we're facing right at the moment that we think the exit strategy is going to help us. Can I tell you, like that old saying goes, that the grass always looks greener on the other side of the fence, but as you've also heard, oftentimes that's because it's over the cesspool of somebody else's yard over there, and you think that this marriage that you're in is not going to work, there's no way it can continue, but something over there, now somebody else is greener pastures, and somebody else is going to be a great time, and there won't be any problems over there. How many of you have bought a house before? You thought, oh, this is wonderful. Brother Marty, Deacon Chairman, he built a beautiful house out the way here. And even on a brand spanking new house, he still had to do things on it. And you know there's going to be that way in every endeavor we go in life. There's going to be things that are happening. There are several folks in our church that are going to get married in the next year. Now, please don't tell them. Shh, mum's the word. But they're going to have some difficulties. Once in a while, that guy is going to be hard to get along with. I don't want to point anybody out, you know, or anything. Once in a while, that sweet girl is going to want her way, and she's not going to understand why you don't want to give it to her either. Difficulties. And so we have in our passage, our scripture here, that as this family is heading out of Bethlehem, Judah. They're going to Moab, and they continue there for some time, and then the boys marry, and then you know the story as well as I do. The husband dies, and the boys die, and then Ruth is and Orpah come with their mom-in-law, and so it's just a different story. And then one of them ends up not coming with her, and she only comes back with one, with Ruth. But I want to bring to you a couple thoughts this morning. Number one is, in your life, there are going to be some famines that come. Verse number one, they were in Bethlehem, Judah, the land of bread and praise, the best of the best. You know Bethlehem, Judah. You know it from other stories in the Bible. It's such a phenomenal, wonderful place, Bethlehem, Judah, but the land of bread and praise. And even in that great spot, there were some famines that come. And my friend, I'm just telling you, even in a wonderful church like Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, even the wonderful church that the Snyders go to down Chattanooga, in the wonderful groups of people, there's still some famines that come. There's some difficulties that come. And not only that in our churches, but then in your family spread out, your mom, your dad, your if you're an adult in here, your adult family, there are some problems that come. It never ceases to amaze me of how when I see folks that maybe a grandpa dies or the dad dies, and they think, oh, no, our family will never fight about what's left. They don't fight about what's left. They fight about what they don't get. That's what happens. They don't mind the things that were left. They mind the things that didn't come to them. I've seen so many good families that happens to. But regardless of that, I'm saying this morning that even in a good family where you think, oh, it's wonderful here. We're in the land of Bethlehem, Judah. This is the land of bread and praise. Even in that land of bread and praise, there'll be some famines that come. This family was doing it right, we might say. This family was where they should be, we could say. But this family had some famines. You know, some of the greatest Christians I know are sick this morning. And I don't mean they just got a little bit of a sore throat. I mean they're sick of something that probably will take them to heaven. I'm talking about some of the greatest Christians. I'm not talking about the lightweights. I'm talking about the prayer warriors. I'm talking about the ones that can get it done. I'm talking about the ones that you feel, if you ever snuck up on them and they're in their prayer time, you'd feel like you want to sneak back because you didn't want to mess anything up. I'm talking about the greatest Christians I know are facing difficulties right now. And I understand that when they, just because they've got a sweet, genuine, fervent relationship and fellowship with the Lord, that doesn't mean that problems won't come. Brother Schneider, as I keep mentioning to him, but some of the greatest missionaries around the world that he has the privilege to get to help and encourage, some of them are facing some mighty big cancer battles right now. Some of the people that are some of the greatest Christians in this room, you've got a spouse that's home right now, and that spouse probably won't make it from what's going on in their life right now. I'm just telling you this morning that famines do come, even in the best of situations. Somehow we've got the idea, as long as I live right, as long as I do what I'm supposed to, as long as I cross all my T's and I dot all my I's and I give some money down to church and I tell the pastor a good sermon once in a while and I'm nice to my neighbor and I keep my grass up and I don't make my street look atrocious and I keep my car washed, and as long as I'm doing all right and I clock in, I clock out, as long as I do all those things, then nothing bad's going to happen to me. Now, I know we chuckle with that because we know how foolish it sounds, but you notice, you watch yourself down deep, you and I all get sucked into that thinking. If I'm doing everything right, why is this happening to me? I cannot tell you how many times as a pastor I've had people ask me, say, preacher or whatever, pastor, why are these bad things happening to these good people? I'm just telling you this morning that it's some famines are going to come. I see not only that, but look at verse number 6, if you will. That famine will end. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited the people in giving them bread. My wife's sister-in-law was talking about her family, and her mother had gotten sick, and for some time that they stayed there at the house. One of the daughters would stay all the time. They would just rotate in and rotate out, and that put all their life, each of those adult children. Now, all of them had children, and some of them, several of them, had grandchildren. And so that meant that these ladies that had duties and responsibilities of their own, jobs and families and grandchildren or children, that they had to give that all up for a week and then come stay with mom. Had to give then somebody else to give that up and come stay with mom. And you folks in this room, we've done the same. But that family said, I don't know that we could have done it much longer. But what they chose to do was take that stringent schedule of staying with a needy mother for a week at a time, until God saw fit to take her on. You say, why would you say all that? I'm saying that whatever difficulties you're going through right now, don't buy into the thinking that it will never end. Because life will turn another leaf over, and then you'll go on from there. There's a couple reasons why I say that. Number one, to give you encouragement. The difficulties you're going through right now, they'll end. But then number two, also, to remind you to enjoy what you've got while you've got it. You've heard that old saying, you're going to miss this. There's many a people that have been at their girls 23, 5, 4, 25, 6, 7, 8, whatever the age were, and they were ready to pull their hair out because they had a baby on this arm and one on this hip, and they were both crying. And what does mom do when she comes? Well, mom goes over and immediately helps, and dad just sits back and laughs. Well, glad it's you, not me. But oftentimes you'll hear a statement something like this: one of these days you'll look back on this, and this will be one of your favorite times in life. And that's probably when that mom picks up something and throws it across the room at her parents, I imagine. But I'm saying that the famine that Naomi and her daughter-in-law, the one that they were facing, that Naomi faced in Bethlehem, it ended. A boy I knew, he was in our youth group. I was older than him, but in our church. And he was a rebellious somebody. And his parents were trying to be faithful, serving the Lord. Serving the Lord by serving their family. And they were trying to be diligent in serving the Lord, but finishing out right with their teenage rebellious son. And they kept on praying and kept on praying and kept on serving and kept on praying and kept on praying and just bathing him in prayer until finally God broke through and broke his heart. And he later went to Crown College over here, but regardless of that, went to train for the ministry and ended up being a pastor. What would you tell that parent of a rebellious teenager? What would you tell that parent of that's ready to pull their hair out, that parent that says, I don't understand why all this is happening? I hope you would tell them, keep on praying. This is not the time to jump ship. Keep on taking him to God. Keep on reading your Bible. Get all the help you can get from other good Christian brothers and sisters and ask them to pray. Don't be so proud that you can't reach out and ask somebody else to pray. But keep on, because the famine will end. And I see that not only does the famine come, but the famine will end. Brother Dan and I served in Iowa together, and some friends of both of ours used to sing a song, "The Roses Will Bloom Again," Carmen. And things will happen again. Difficulties will be overcome. The land of bread and praise was the land of bread and praise again. The great famine that was there ended. We were, some friends of ours were down. He used to be our youth director in Ohio. And they came down the other day, and they have a little newborn. And so this was the first trip they took. And they stayed in our apartment or spot in the basement. And so we were helping watch him and help do this. And they went some places together. Some I went and some I didn't. But we were having a good time together. And Amy was all dressed up. We'd been to church or somewhere. And she had the baby on there. And after babies eat, you know what they all do when when you put them up there and you pat their back. Blah. And so I reminded Amy, you know how sensitive I am. I reminded Amy, well, you say you want a baby around the house. Well, there you go. I'd be like that one lady. She said, don't have more children. If you want to know what it's like to remember what it's like to have babies, just come take a couple of ours for a few days. That's what every newborn mother says. Oh yeah, just come get mine. Get me some rest. But I'm saying this morning that the spit up down the back of your dress and all of the other things that happen, that will all come to close one of these days. You know, we just sent Jared. He went to Pensacola. This is his final year. He just got down there on Friday, and Mads went over, the redhead went over to Crown Friday. And one of the best bits of advice was given by a pastor's wife in West Virginia. We were there doing something. And Jared was just months old. I don't remember the age now. But I was there preaching, and so this pastor's wife told Amy the best advice that I've ever heard. And she said that, it wasn't advice, just commentary. He'll sleep through the night soon enough. Meaning that these sleepless nights aren't going to stay around. Now we might have sleepless nights worrying about him driving when he's 10 hours away from here, but not for the same reason. And she was right. The sleepless nights will end. You'll get through whatever's going on. Problems that are so unsurmountable right now will one of these days be done. The famine will end. Brother Jackson that's back there. He serves with Amazing Grace Baptist Missions. We're so thankful that he's here. He used to co-captain a bus route with Brother Stan Beach, and Mrs. Beach gave us the second bit of advice that was the greatest thing that I've heard as far as the practicality of the physical part of kids. Gina Beach told Amy about her two girls that we just tried to enjoy every stage of their life. When they were toddlers and getting into everything, we tried our best to enjoy it. When they were primary kids and everything was fresh and new and they wanted to see be a princess, we tried to enjoy that. They got to be junior age kids and they got a little more sophisticated and they didn't want help with everything now. We tried to enjoy that. When they got to be teenagers, and Stan and Gina did, they would travel miles and miles and miles to see their girls play ball and do this. I'm telling you these stories because whatever you're going through, number one, remember that's going to end. You better enjoy it because you really will miss some of it. But number two, if it's about to break you, if it's about to get you to a breaking point, can I remind you it's going to end? God's faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able to bear. Whatever you're facing right now, the Lord will be with you. He says and promises He will never leave you nor forsake you. I know that some of your hearts are about ready to break in two because of some difficulties that are going on. I understand because we're praying about some things with some of you. I understand that this housing thing that you're in right now is just, you're not sure when the light's ever going to break through and show you what to do. I understand some financial problems that are going on. You say, I just don't see how it's going to come. I'm asking you to remember that the famine will end. So number one, famines will come. And number two, famines will end. I'll leave you with, I won't give you the last one. It was just a thought about the fact that when you get to the end, we're going to do what we all do. I watch this family. I know them some. And all five of them, there's mom, dad, three kids, and they're all older kids, and they all separately, but all did it at the same time. They just had to do it separately. They all jumped off this bridge on a bungee jump, big rubber band, you know what I mean? Just hook at your ankles there. I mean, like that one fellow said, what if it's just a little bit too long? Rubber band is good. Rubber band was just 3 feet too long. Wow, that's going to be a hard way to find that out. This family just jumped out because they all wanted to do it together. And isn't it amazing when we do great things like that? Great in their expense and in their memories, not so great as far as intelligence. I'm not saying that. Why would you leave a good, perfectly good platform? Why would you jump off into nothing? But isn't it something when you go up there, you see kids are scared. Oh, I don't know if I could do this. I don't know if I can do this. And then when they jump off, and then if you see those kids 15 minutes later, what are they doing? Yeah, that was nothing. I didn't mind at all. After that, they're like Barney Fife. Yeah, I didn't mind. Before that, I was sniveling like a little baby. And you know what? After we get done with some things, we're going to say, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was. You remember that passage in the Scripture? And I won't try to even quote it, but you remember a passage in the Scripture where even when ladies are going into the blessed act of childbirth and that they say after that, that they were thankful for it. Now, I've learned, we've got three children, I've learned that never ask Amy, like right soon after you have one, you want to have any more? If you do, duck behind something. But then later, they forget all of those, some of those trials and the troubles. And the blessings outweigh the difficulties that they faced. I'm just here this morning, and I pray, maybe I'm trusting the Lord that I preach the right thing to you, because I believe that we're in the middle of missions month, and God knows we want to have a great impact globally. But I just felt like the Lord just would not let me get away from this to tell you this morning that the famines that are in your life, you're in the land of Bethlehem, Judah, land of bread and praise. You're where you're supposed to be. In your relationships, your marriage, your children, church, whatever, wherever you, just let God, let the Holy Ghost of God put it in specifics where you need to be. Today, I just came to give you some encouragement. The famine will end. Just hold on. Don't jump ship from that wonderful marriage. It may be looking rough right now, but don't jump ship. Those children, don't give up on them. I've seen, all of us have seen broken home after broken home after broken home. Many of them are Christians. And some of those Christian parents have the nerve to tell other Christians that we're going to do better by these children because now we're going to divide to multiply. We're going to have mom and a stepdad and dad and a stepmom. We're going to love them even more. I could take you to hundreds of people that would say, I'd rather have just one set. If you're in a family where you're bringing them together and you already have, God bless you. You make it where you are. But I'm just saying, that famine that you think is never going to end, just let the Lord work on it. I believe if you'd asked Naomi if the situation had been different, she obviously, I'll give you this one last little thing here. Oh, let me find my place. Okay, if you still got your Bible open, look at 21, okay, and then we'll quit. Because this tells a story about how she really was living in Bethlehem, Judah before she left out. Remember when she said, don't call me anymore, don't call me Naomi no more. Call me Mara. Mara means bitter because I'm bitter. I've been dealt with bitterly. But look at the very first of verse number 21. I went out full. So if we were a class, say class, why did Naomi leave Bethlehem? Because there was a what? There's a famine. We ain't going to be able to make it up here. Better get in our SUV and get out of town. Whatever they was driving. I don't think they was driving that. Get on our camel and go. We got to go because there's a famine in the land. We're going to starve to death up here. She went all the way down to Moab, come all the way back up to Bethlehem, Judah, because she said, well, I heard that things are going good back up there again. And then she got there, but she was so broken because of all that she had been. She lost her husband, lost her son, lost her other son, and had her daughter-in-law to comfort her. But in all of that, she said, she told the story herself, I went out full. But she came back in empty. So she would, by her own admission, have been full in the famine. Folks, whatever God's bringing you through, rest assured He is bringing you through. I didn't say you wouldn't get a few bumps and bruises along the way, but He is bringing you through. And He will be faithful to bring you all the way through. Even some of the good folks that we prayed and it didn't work out physically like we thought it would, and God took some of them on to glory. Do you think God didn't give ultimate healing to them? We were only praying for a little bit of physical healing. But God says, I'm going to do better than that. He brought them through. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I pray that you bless my friends, dear Lord. Lord, forgive. Maybe I fooled around too much in the pulpit this morning, but I pray that you've gotten the message to the people. And Lord, I'm afraid there's people that they're ready to bail out on this relationship that they're in just because there's difficulties. Now, Lord, I want everybody to be careful and be led of the Spirit of you, dear Lord. But help us not just to jump out because times are hard. Help us not to jump ship. Help us not to take the exit off the highway just because there's a few potholes, dear Lord. Help us remember you've been faithful all the way through. Lord, you've guided us. You've led us. You've helped us. Dear Lord, please, please help us to take some inventory. And I believe we'll realize we've been full in the famine. And Lord, help us to remember you'll take us all the way through. We'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You can look this way, but stand together as they play. We'll do it just a little different. You're welcome to come to the altar and just pray about whatever the Lord has put on your heart. But I believe we've got a lot of people in our church that are going through a heap of stuff right now. And I'm just asking you to lift them up in prayer. I'm asking you to also, though, remember your own self. God's going to be faithful. He is not going to let us slide. He is not going to let us be without His touch and without His hand. And He says He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He will be with us. He will guide us. He will lead us. And so, my friend, whatever you're going through, would you ask yourself this question? Is God sustaining me right now? And I know what the answer is, yes. Is God faithful to me right now? And I know the answer is yes. And my friend, those things are not going to change. He's not going to be faithful today and leave you on your own tomorrow. He will not leave you comfortless. He will not leave you without your sustenance. We'll remember that He was so good to us. So let's remember it now. Perhaps you're here today and you're not saved. Brother Daniel's down here in the front. And you're here this morning. You're not on your way to heaven. You're not saved. Or you have your doubts about it. You struggle with that. You wrestle with that. Sometimes you're just not sure. Would you just slip out of your seat and come and let him or if your lady, a lady would, just take the word of God and show you how you can be sure, certain, and have it nailed down that you're on your way to heaven. Just as they play through, if God's speaking to your heart, especially if you're not saved, not sure you know Jesus as your personal Savior, would you step out and come? Maybe you're here and you're saved, but you've never been baptized after you got saved. Baptism doesn't save you. Baptism doesn't get anybody to heaven. But baptism is what we're supposed to do because that lets everybody see that we are identifying with Christ. Maybe you need to do that and you want to come present yourself for it. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You'd love to come present yourself for membership. Whatever God's working on your heart, I trust that you be faithful and be obedient to Him. As they continue to play through, if God's dealing with your heart, would you come? Father, it's a joy to be in your house. It's wonderful to remind the folks of how good you are, dear Lord. It's wonderful to remind ourselves that we serve a faithful, able God. Bless the time as we leave today, and we'll trust you for all of our goodness, all of the good things that we need, and we'll thank you for it as you give. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'd like for you to just look this way, and we're so excited. The Barkers have been coming to our service here, to our church here, and we're so thankful for Brother Alan and Miss Sherry Barker, and they're saved and baptized, and they desire to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and Brother Daniel got to spend some time with them and see if they had questions about the church, and we're so thankful. Maybe many of you haven't got to meet them very much yet, but we're grateful that God has led them in this, and we rejoice in that, but we'd like to vote them in this morning, and so we need a motion that we take that. Brother Marty Scroggs, our deacon chairman, makes that motion, and Brother Larry Trent seconds it, and all in favor of them joining up with us, you say amen? Amen. Amen. All opposed, same sign? Well, we're so thankful for you all being here. What a joy it is to see folks come and join the church. And I want all of us to do our part to help welcome each new member that comes in, because I believe that the Lord is gathering us together, a crew, so that we can go on a weekly basis out and see people that we work with and we're neighbors with and that we just howdy with here and there and remind them about Jesus Christ. Show them how to be saved. Maybe as all of us are missionaries as we head out. So thank you so much. And we aren't fellowshipping quite as much as we normally do because of all the things that are going on. But I challenge several of you to come on up this way and get to meet Brother Alan and Miss Sherry. We're so thankful for them being here. And then, Brother Snyder, do you want to slip back to the table? Is that all right? Or I'm going to ask him to slip back to the table. We won't do, again, quite as much fellowshipping. But in case you have a question about one of the booths that's back there with BIMI or Camp Bimmy or one of the other ministries that's an out ministry of BIMI, then they'll be back there. And then, Brother Jackson, so good to have you. Thank you so much. We were blessed to serve together in the bus ministry at Franklin Road, and Miss Debbie was our cooked a lot of meals for us. She was our lunch, provided lunch for all of the school kids, and we thank God for both of them. And if you have some questions about them or about Amazing Grace, then you can certainly see them on the way out. And then the last thing is, don't forget to stop by, ladies, for that book for the Bible study. Or everybody else for the shirt if you want one. And then I challenge you to get one. It'd be a great way just to have a good shirt advertised. It'd be a lot of fun. And we'll think that's all the announcements we have. But it's been a joy to be in church. I want you to come back tonight to hear Brother Snyder. I believe you're going to be blessed by him. And I think that it'll be a wonderful evening this evening. If you're dropping off your faith promise cards in the offering plate, God bless you. Thank you for that. If you're going to do that tonight, God bless you. Thank you. And we'll look forward to seeing all that God's going to do. Wonderful time to be in God's house. Thank you so much for being here. You're dismissed.